You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
We made it to a Wednesday, barely, hour one. Come on in, stay a while. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Say good morning to our radio and TV partners. We'll talk some hoops with Tim Legler from the Mothership. Former NFL quarterback Mark Sanchez will stop by as well. Hawks at the Bucks, game one coming up tonight. Suns beat the Clippers last night to go up 2-0. We've been down this road before with the Clippers. Can they do it again? How many times can you keep going back to that well? Hey, we lose the first two games. Well, you're not going to have Kawhi Leonard anytime soon. This feels like a little bit different 0-2 hole for them. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. The Clippers erased 2-0 deficits in the first two rounds of the playoffs. But this certainly is different. Playing without Kawhi, you have the Phoenix Suns. They didn't play well. Devin Booker didn't play well. You don't have Chris Paul. Now, granted, you don't have Kawhi, but you got to steal one of these games. And it came down to those who did it and those who didn't. Came down to Paul George not making a couple of free throws with 7 seconds to go. He missed 5 of 10 free throws. The rest of the team missed one. 1 of 8 from three-point range. As often or as much as we want to praise Paul George, and we have in these postseason games, this is one of those where you have to be critical of Paul George. This is your team. This is your stage. They need you. You have to be big. You have to hit those shots. You got to be clutch. You can't rely on Kawhi to bail you out. And last night you had a chance to steal that. Give credit to the Phoenix Suns because Monty Williams called a great play. You're 9/10 of a second to go, and 9/10 of a second to go, and Devin Booker was the decoy. He set the pick that allowed DeAndre Ayton to score the game winner at the buzzer. He didn't even know if he had committed offensive goaltending. He didn't know what the rule was. But you have Boogie Cousins, who jumps as well as I do on the inbounds pass, and he's sort of shading to the other side of the court, not realizing that there might be an alley-oop. So he doesn't really jump or can't jump that high. They throw it up. It's a beautifully diagrammed play. It really was. I just want to know, what were the Clippers thinking the Suns were going to call? That's what I kept thinking. Okay, 9/10 of a second. Can Booker get a catch and shoot? Off balance, deep? Yeah, probably so. But DeAndre Ayton, with a pick set for him, went up. Jay Crowder, a perfect lob pass here. And here's DeAndre Ayton describing what happened at the end of the game.
Once I set that first screen for Cam, I tried to set up Zubac to, you know, for Book to have a good angle on him. And I believe once my feet touch the paint where I can go off right, left, 1-2, not many people are going to be up there with me. So that's where I got confident at. Once I really got that gathered, nobody bumped me or, you know, it was up. And, you know, that was it.
I love it. Not many people going to be up there where I am, but it was a beautifully placed pass there. And that's your difference, 104-103. This program is brought to you by Simply Safe, Simply Safe Home Security. They've been saving people last 15 years. Simply Safe is always there. Somebody's always there who has your back to keep you safe. Go to simplysafedan.com. Customize your system. Get a free security camera today. McLovin, give me a poll question today.
Okay, we're workshopping this still, but I have a bet for the Suns-Clippers series. I'll give you, if the Suns win, you get $100,000. If the Clippers come back and win the series, you have to lose a pinky, which is Paulie's favorite wage always.
Okay.
How confident are you that the Suns have this wrapped up?
I guess to be specific, which pinky? Can you pick which pinky? You know, if you're right-handed, do you want to lose your pinky finger?
Yeah, that's okay. There was also discussion on you in a tax-free state, like which... You know, a state tax-free state.
Is $100,000 enough for a pinky?
Well, yeah, but you have great odds. You're up 2-0 and Chris Paul's coming back.
Okay.
I think a million's too much.
Okay. What other poll questions do you have?
Okay.
We're rolling.
I mean, we thought we were done with
it. No, I was hoping there might have been something a little more.
Five minutes in is a little too early
yeah,
for that?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We're not that desperate yet.
If you want to get more ridiculous, let's get into this topic. Should the MLB continue checking pitchers the way they're doing it now?
All right, I'll get to that topic in a little bit here. What else?
What's better TV, the NBA draft lottery or the NFL schedule release? In other words, shows about nothing.
That was unintentionally funny last night. Because there are people who really don't have much to do with the team, or you don't care that they're there. Occasionally you'll get Kevin Love showed up one year. Keem Olajuwon was there for the Rockets. Elgin Baylor was always there for the Clippers. But for the most part, you're just going, all right, it's kind of a placeholder there, a seat filler. Hey, would you show up at the lottery and sit there and act enthusiastic? Hey, when they announce that we have the sixth overall pick, look really excited there. Because you had some people who were going, is this a good thing? Am I supposed to react here? Did we get what we... What? And then the camera will focus on them, and then they realize they're on camera, and then they go, okay. Yay. Yeah, Paul.
You were not entertained by Sacramento Kings general manager Monty McNair and his reactions?
Not as much as I normally am.
How about the president of basketball operations, Mr. Excitement, Jeff Weltman of the Magic?
I was not as excited as I normally am.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. That's on you, though.
Yes, it might be.
Weltman?
Yeah.
Weltman is a maniac.
Oh, you get him out, get a couple of drinks in him.
You remember.
Woo! Yeah. Man, he's got some loose lips there.
Weltman.
Yeah. What else do you have?
All right, another poll question. Is the NBA draft still relevant? I know that sounds harsh, but I see the same five teams up there. I see the Orlando Magic picking five every year, and everyone's getting a 6'4 swing guard that they have no idea about.
Well, it feels like those swing guards are around 6'6 or 6'7 now.
Yeah.
So I think they've grown, but it feels like every draft is basically the same player, just from a different place in the United States or a foreign country, and they come in and, you know, he's a 6'8 tweener. He can play point. He's got to work on his three-point shooting. It just feels like they sort of had that profile for just about everybody there. Yes, he.
But don't you feel like there was sort of a collective disappointment among maybe a handful of very talented young athletes last night when they saw Detroit number?
Well, only one. I think Cade Cunningham out of Oklahoma State. He's probably the one going, where am I going?
Oh, dear.
When's the last time Detroit basketball was relevant? It's been
Kayshaun
a long time.
Sean Prince, Rip Hamilton?
Maybe. It's been a long time.
It's not like the other options were so great. Do you want to be anything to do with the Houston Rockets right now? I know they have a bet.
I think I would.
Yeah, but you want the green light. That's why you want to go to Houston.
But if you're Cade Cunningham, you played at Oklahoma State, now you're going to play at Houston. You're in a state, no income tax. You got a team that can be your team when you step in there. Yeah. I guess. I don't know if there were great options there, but it does feel like, you know, you're seeing these schools and then you're not seeing the big schools, the big names that we normally see. And then you're seeing a G League team, Ignite. And I think get used to that. I think we're going to see more of this where, you know, Nike's going to have its own league. You're just going to, players are going to decide, hey, you know, I can go to the G League, get paid, get developed, be a professional, play against pros, guys who have been in the league, and then I can be a lottery pick. And it feels like that's sort of where we're headed. It feels like there's more players who will look at that option. Whereas before we thought, oh, you're going to disappear. You know, LaMelo Ball, he went overseas. He played in Australia and Lithuania, came back. He didn't miss a beat. I think if you can play, you can play. I think we look at, oh, you're going to miss out on being on national TV. You're going to go to Kentucky or Duke or North Carolina. You get to play on national TV. But look at I found this interesting, though. Jalen Suggs played for Gonzaga. He was wonderful this year. But his social media following, what are the numbers on his social media? Seton, do you have those?
Jalen Suggs?
Yeah.
His Instagram, he's got about 456,000 followers.
Okay. So after a run in the tournament, they were going to go undefeated. We're going to win a national title. He was a great story, former quarterback in high school, and a big-time recruiter goes to Gonzaga. Who has the most followers, social media-wise, of the potential lottery picks?
Well, if you look at, we'll just say the other Jalen Green, he's got 1.2 million.
And he went to the G League.
Right, right. He actually has, Jalen Ramsey only has, well, not only, but has 1.1 million. So he actually has more followers than Jalen Ramsey does on Instagram.
Yeah, McClub.
They're high school guys, right, who have gigantic followings.
Yes.
I mean, the biggest
yes.
one. Does Bronny count, or is that a different
thing? That's also? Different.
Yeah.
Like, he inherited his father's following.
But, yeah, I think Seton had a great... You don't need to go to college to get your profile up anymore.
No, you don't, and we think that you have to. Zion could have... His profile was huge when he was in high school. It's because social media, if it's Instagram or TikTok... You know, that's what they're capitalizing on. And, you know, these athletes, if they do go to college, are going to be, they're going to be using those social media platforms to be able to make a lot of money. Yeah, McLovin.
One disappointment I had last night that I have no idea if it's even true, that the Warriors got the number 7 pick. I was like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if the Warriors could have added a top 2 or 3 pick? Although it might have been protected because it was a trade. But that was the one team I saw last night that I was like, oh, man, they could be exciting. Are they building something? They have 7-14, James Wiseman, Curry. You were kind of bullish on the Warriors.
Well, with Clay, I thought that they could compete for the title this year.
Can they rebuild to the point where they were at some point?
Well, you got your window. It looks like it's about 3 years with Steph. And Clay, how healthy is Clay going to be? The development of Wiseman. You know, they had some players who stepped up with Golden State this year. And it wasn't necessarily a one-man team with Steph, but he did lead the league in scoring. Yeah, Paulie.
But then you look at the draft, there's a lot of guys we don't know. Devin Booker, no one thought he'd be a superstar. Nobody did. He was the 4th Kentucky player taken in the 2015 draft. Karl Anthony Towns, Trey Lyles.
Both Harrison brothers.
Willie Cauley-Stein.
Yes.
They were all taken before him.
They had, I think, 7 or 8 players who got drafted. Booker didn't even start for Kentucky.
Right. He was a 13th overall pick.
Yeah.
Nobody had him.
But that's, Tim Legler's going to join us. If you look at the draft, nobody thought Giannis could be this good. Nobody thought Kawhi could be this good. Nobody thought the Joker could be this good. Devin Booker averaged 10 points a game at Kentucky his freshman year. Who's up top or who you think is going to be good, there's always going to be an outlier. Always. If not one, you know, 2 or 3. But to try to handicap that, I want to talk to Tim Legler about that. Legs will join us. I want to know what he thought the Clippers were thinking that final play was going to be all about. Because I do wonder, it felt like it was going to be a pick and pop for Devin Booker in a quick shot with 0.9 seconds. We'll take a break. Just getting started here. Glad you're part of the program. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. RockAuto.com. All the parts your car or truck will ever need. RockAuto.com. Family business founded by automotive engineers back in 1999. Two goals in mind. They want to give you direct access to all the parts information hidden in the computers and catalogs behind the parts store counter. And second, make the parts affordable by offering reliably low prices. RockAuto.com has the correct parts for both old and new cars and trucks. You can't just pour 10W30 oil into just about every engine you like that you could 30 years ago. RockAuto.com has specific oil, transmission fluid, antifreeze, other chemicals your car has to have. Don't waste time and money hunting for those parts. And that means phoning, driving, waiting in lines. Go to RockAuto.com. Make sure you tell them we sent you. You can write Dan Patrick in the How Did You Hear About Us box. So they know that we sent you and we're being a great partner. And we appreciate your loyalty to our sponsors. All the parts your car or truck will ever need at rockauto.com. Rockauto.com and tell them we sent you. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Fritzy has a limerick. Off the Suns Clippers game 2. We'll have that for you coming up. Stay in your cars for that.
Okay.
Settle on a poll question, play of the day, stat of the day. Here's Ty Lue, the Clippers head coach, after the devastating loss last night.
We let one get away. You know, that's how we felt. But the confidence of his team, it hasn't wavered. You know, guys just said, all right, we got to go home now. And they was in good spirits. So, you know, like I said, we fought hard. We played, you know, good enough to win this game. You know, unfortunately, it happens. And we just got to move on, get ready for game three.
Clippers erased 2-0 deficits the first two rounds of the playoffs, but this one feels a little bit different. Let's bring in the former Phoenix Sun, Tim Legler, the ESPN NBA reporter who joins us, analyst, Suns legend. How many games did you play for the Phoenix Suns in your career?
Oh, not many. I was there for 210 days my rookie year. That was my very first taste of NBA basketball and my very first NBA points on an assist from the great Kevin Johnson. I'm running the left wing, and KJ had the ball in the middle. He kicked it out to me. I just got there that morning. I barely even knew the guys on the team. And I heard Cotton Fitzsimmons say, Legler, in that draw about, you know, late first quarter. I stood up. I didn't know any of the plays. I go to the court. One of the first trips, I run the floor to left wing after a turnover. KJ hit me. I'll never forget it, Dan. I shot a jumper on the left baseline, and it came out of my hand. I knew pretty much immediately it was going in. And KJ gave me a nice wink and a point running back down the floor. That was my first two NBA points in a Phoenix Suns uniform.
Nice. Nice. Let me start in reverse here. At the end of the game, what play do you think the Clippers thought the Suns were going to run?
I think there's no question they're expecting Devin Booker to set some sort of screen and then pop out. And that's really how they defended it. If you look at Nicholas Batum, who they put on Booker for a very specific reason, because he's 6'8", he's long, and they figure 0.9, he's not going to be able to put it down, so he's going to have to catch it and shoot it. So you want extra length on him. And when you look at when Booker set the screen, Batum isn't thinking about bumping at all on DeAndre Ayton. You know, normally on a screen being set with two guys that don't have the ball, you're hoping that you're going to get a bump by the defender of the screener. In this case, Batum, didn't happen because he was so worried. If he bumps, Booker pops to the corner, he's not going to recover. So as a result, there's nobody touching DeAndre Ayton, and he basically gets that quick free run to the rim. And then Boogie Cousins, obviously, I've talked about a lot here. He's lined up improperly. He's got his shoulders square to the back, basically to the mid-court line. And as a result, you're giving Jay Crowder a direct sight line to the rim. You know, 6'11", you put him on the ball for a reason. You cannot allow Jay Crowder to see unimpeded a direct line where he wants to throw the ball at the rim. And Boogie Cousins just didn't do enough to impede his vision. And as a result, it worked perfectly. Monty Williams never could have a million years dreamed that was going to work that way, that easily when he drew that up. He's hoping, but there's no way he can envision all that going right.
Ayton didn't even know the goaltending rule. He thought he might have committed offensive goaltending there.
Yeah, right. And I think a lot of people did. You could see he was so sheepish. He dunked it, and he immediately looked around. Do you know what it reminded me of? Go back to Lorenzo Charles.
Yeah.
Right? He dunked it, and he didn't know. Same thing, put his hands like to the side, like, you know, he committed a crime, and he didn't want any evidence on the basketball. That's what Lorenzo Charles looked like, and that's exactly what DeAndre Ayton looked like. And a lot of people were debating it at first, and, you know, just think about the logic of it. Because you can't score from out of bounds where you're throwing the ball, you know it has to be a pass. In a game, the reason that could be considered offensive goaltending, because you're not sure if that's a shot or a pass necessarily. In this case, you know it's got to be a pass because you can't throw it in directly from out of bounds.
Would you rather lose a game like that or get blown out if you're the Clippers?
I think that way. I was just one of those people. I hated getting blown out. I mean, it never felt good to get blown out. I think what they've got to hang their hat on is what Tyronn Lue said, a couple things. First, they did enough. They hung in there. They persevered enough to have a chance to win the game. And, you know, I look at something no one's really talking about. Dan, you talk about bad luck. The three that Bridges took right before that, look at the way the ball caroms off the rim. It's very bizarre. From a corner three-point shot, for that ball to hit the rim and not project up into the air at all, because if it does, the game is going to end no matter who gets the rebound. Instead, it's very strange. It hits the rim, and it like skirts sideways at such a direct angle. Nobody can grab it, and it happened so quickly it allowed them 0.9. That's just bad luck that that ball did that. If that ball kicks up in the air, the game's over, and it's 1-1, and they feel completely differently. But you said it, 2-0 against this team is different than the 2-0s they have faced in the first two rounds.
We praise Paul George. We bury Paul George. This is your moment. You don't have Kawhi. You missed two big free throws. You missed five free throws on the night. You go 1 of 8 from three-point range. I mean, how do you assess Paul George here in that performance last night?
Man, oh, man. You know, and I've been hard on him over the years. You know, I go back and going into this postseason, I go and look at the way his seasons have ended for him personally. You know, it's not just what happened last year against Denver going 4 for 16. He had moment against Oklahoma City against Utah where he was so bad in that series to close that out. Going back to the Indiana series, he had some games against Cleveland when he was playing in Indiana at key moments, like series-defining moments. This year, he's been great. He really has been. He's been so consistent, so good. He's had a couple nights that he's off a little bit, but for the most part, man, has he stepped up. And then he gets this moment. And what's odd about it is I just don't think that's a choke job. I know he went to the line 141 times this year to shoot two free throws, and he did not. He only missed two once. So it sounds like, yeah, that's a choke. If you look at the two balls, that's just not the case. That's not what happened. If you look at the two balls that he shot, the first one's in and out. The second one is dead straight, perfectly shot, and it just hits the back of the rim, comes right back to him. So I don't think it's a choke job. I just think that it was unfortunate, and now he's going to have to wear that. It's a shame for him because he's played so well.
He's Tim Legler, ESPN NBA analyst. I was mentioning this earlier about Devin Booker. That, I mean, he averaged 10 points a game his freshman year at Kentucky. He comes out. I mean, he's the fourth Kentucky player drafted that year. You got Giannis, who nobody knew about. Kawhi, who nobody knew about. Donovan Mitchell, nobody knew about. The Joker, nobody knew about. Man, it's really hard to assess talent, and becoming even harder, it feels like, Legs, this coming off, you know, the lottery last night.
Harder than it's ever been. It's funny you mentioned that class. And I remember that press conference to announce they were coming out, and it looked like a banquet. There was 22 guys on the stage, and the Harrison brothers are sitting on the end, and I'm going, man, these guys don't even want to come out, but he's got – 2 5-star point guards coming in. They didn't have a choice. Like, everybody's coming out. The equipment manager came out. Everybody declared themselves for the draft that year. And I remember watching that and thinking, you know, Devin Booker, to me, he was a nice player. It was impossible to know what you had in a year. And it's harder and harder because there's so much growth in those first couple of years, Dan. And now Devin Booker is legitimate, a star offensive player.
I know you have to go. You're doing some hits for the mothership. If you could help Ben Simmons, is there a way to help him?
Look, mechanically, I could definitely help him, but more than anything else, he absolutely needs to see a sports psychologist because, to me, he has a fear of failure that is interrupting his muscle memory, and it's not even allowing him to process the moment right, when to shoot, when not to shoot. You can't have shooting as an afterthought. It's got to be anticipatory. It's proactive motion. It's something you're premeditating a lot of times that you're going to shoot. You're anticipating being open. He doesn't do any of those things because he has a fear of failure for whatever reason. They've got to get to the bottom of that before the mechanics can be addressed.
Always great to talk to you, Legs. Thanks for making time.
You got it, Dan. Thanks.
That's Tim Legler, ESPN NBA analyst. Yeah, that mental hurdle. And what do you do? And look, Daryl Morey is the 76ers GM. He's saying all the right things. That, hey, there are a lot of teams who are envious of the talent we have and would love to be in the same position as us. Okay. Are you going to continue to maintain that position? Are you going to continue to have Ben Simmons as your point guard? I think that's really the key issue. And I don't – it almost feels like Joel Embiid, his body language is telling you, I don't have confidence in this guy. And basically, I don't want him out there in the fourth quarter. But Ben doesn't have confidence in Ben being out there in the fourth quarter. And that's really hard to try to, you know, quantify and go, okay, hey, if we just do this, it'll get better. I truly believe if you put Ben Simmons on another team, where the expectation levels aren't that high. Now, this is about winning a championship. You bring in Doc Rivers, Embiid gives you an MVP-like season. You're spending money on Tobias Harris. You're ready to go, and he's holding you back. And I think if he went to a place like Houston, let's say, where he had an opportunity to have a team and not have to defer and worry about Joel Embiid, I think that he would benefit from that. I do think he needs a couple of games, performances, where he has that positivity there that he can sort of lean on when he gets to the next game. If not, I just think this continues. I think the Philly fans, they're going to be less than patient now. And the media in Philadelphia, the same way. And I think it's only going to get worse. You can fix his form, but you got to fix him mentally. And that's really hard to find somebody who... There's a lot of shooting coaches out there. Wonderful shooting coaches. But this is different. This is more than just, hey, we fixed his form. Yeah, McLovin.
Feels like we're scapegoating him a little bit because... I mean, Joel Embiid's fitness is a massive problem. Like, even the coach is like, I can't get him to play well in the fourth quarter because he's gassed.
Yeah.
And it's the same problem. Like, and also Tobias Harris, you could never get rid of him because of his money.
Yeah.
There's like, so it, Simmons, it feels like he's taking all the arrows here, but there's obviously other problems.
Yes.
And Doc Rivers, too, by
the
way.
Yes. I absolutely. This is what happens. We single out one moment, one person, and then that's the focus of, oh, this is their problem. Doc Rivers has not coached well in big games, but Embiid played through. He's going to need knee surgery here. Now, he's not in shape. He has to get in shape, better shape. Tobias Harris has to decide, do you want to be a big-time player? You're getting paid like a big-time player. Are you a big-time player? Like, Seth Curry shouldn't be your second-best player. I give him credit. He's made himself into a very, very good player. That's the guy that you get as your fourth best player. And then when you have that, man, that makes you so dangerous here. Yeah, Paulie.
You brought up Ben Simmons yesterday. It was a really good point you had about that game against Utah.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a thing where he played that game against Utah where it was obviously on him. Utah's a tough team. They're on the road. He had 42 points, 12 of 13 from the line, 15 of 26 from the field.
Yeah.
He had no choice but to be the man. Like he had no choice. Deferring was not a possibility, and it made it better. Obviously, that game is not, I wouldn't say it's a fluke, but it proves that it can happen.
Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, he loves to shoot when the clock is running down. He's, you know, like 24-second clock?
Yeah.
Then he fires off threes because it's in his head. Like, he's like, I got to shoot, and he's pretty good. But
well, then it feels like, hey, I had to get that shot up if it doesn't go in. I know this mindset. So he's thinking, 21, 22 on the shot clock, or it's winding down to 2 seconds, 3 seconds. Hey, I got that up. It didn't go in, but I had to get that shot off. Therefore, it takes a little bit of the pressure. If he takes that jumper with 16 seconds left, then you're going to get, why'd you take it at 16 seconds? Couldn't we have gotten a better shot there? This allows him to do it, but also not, face that same kind of blame or pressure or being singled out. Yeah, McLovin.
If he was like the number 20 pick in the draft or something like it, he was at a star, wouldn't we view him, what a great role player he is? It's like a matter of expectations to some degree.
Yeah. Yes.
Like Reggie Bush.
Like Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler was at the end of the first round, a pleasant surprise. Kawhi couldn't shoot, but boy, he could play defense. Giannis, man, he's got potential. But they got better. Ben was the opposite. It's like, here's the expectation level. And Cade Cunningham out of Oklahoma State's going to face this. You're the number one pick probably with Detroit. Come on in. Let's see what you got. Now, the expectation level is that's not a good team. We're not going to expect the team to be that good. Anthony Edwards with Minnesota. All right, you went there. Nobody cared about Minnesota. You win a handful of games. No pressure there. But, when you're in that position of, hey, they took me 21st, Devin Booker had no pressure. He was just like coming in, I got four other Kentucky guys who went before me, unknown, got a nice shot. All right. He averaged 10 points his 1 year at Kentucky. And then all of a sudden, you get confident. You get playing time. And then after that, like, look at the confidence of Devin Booker. and look at the confidence or lack thereof with Ben Simmons. Ben's probably got more all-around talent, and he's the number one overall pick. He has no confidence. Confidence makes you a bad mother on the floor, man. There are guys that had confidence, and you go, how does he have that much confidence? But they do, and it makes you a better player. Ben needs to have, he needs to tap into something that says, I'm good, I'm great. I can take over this game. Lonzo Ball, we've seen that. I love Lonzo Ball's game. LaMelo is the one who has the confidence, not Lonzo. LaMelo's not afraid of a moment. Lonzo is. Yeah, Paul.
There's an article about Ben Simmons when he was still in high school, and the title, the headline is, Imagine if Magic Johnson were bigger, stronger, and more athletic. That's Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
That was from ESPN.com. Yeah. I mean, this is, he came in with tons of expectations.
Paul George has shot two free throws in the same possession 267 times in his playoff career. He's missed both shots 10 times. Six of the 10 came in the fourth quarter.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
When you have a finish like that last night, sometimes things get overshadowed. The story of Cameron Payne is like that. He was wonderful last night. He had 29, and he's played well. And you're probably going, who? Yeah, Cameron Payne. Is he out of Murray State?
Yeah, your Racers.
Yeah. But to have those moments without Chris Paul in there and to get those moments to get playoff time. Now, he's 14th pick in the draft. He was considered undersized. Like, he came in, it's like, all right, you got pick 14th. No expectations whatsoever, but he played extremely well last night. The Suns have won 9 straight postseason games. That's the longest streak in franchise history. That's the longest in the NBA since the Warriors won 15 in a row back in the 2017 playoffs.
Stat of
sure,
the day,
why not?
Stat of the day,
back
stat
to back.
Of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day.
Yes, Paul.
I know you know this bothers me, but your last name's Payne, and you name your son Cam.
Yeah,
I know it's Cameron Payne, but it's easily you could shorten it to campaign. He's a fantastic player. I'm sure he's a great kid.
I kind of like it.
You like campaign?
Yeah.
So bend over is okay if your kid's
that
in
is not
not okay.
No, bend over. That's
bend
embarrassing.
Over.
But okay. Campaign.
That's okay.
Yeah.
All right. So it's positive.
Like there's a campaign for campaign.
All right.
Yeah. But bend over? No.
No.
That's not a good one. Yeah. See.
If you're a fan of his, you would be propane.
Oh, propane. That was his little brother's propane.
Little brother propane.
You got one, Todd? I figured you're...
And I was going to
say,
that's a guess. That was great.
His uncle is named lower back pain. It's a long...
I don't know, Paul. That was a fritzy. Yeah, I'm going to have to...
He didn't have anything.
I'm going to have to blow the whistle on you. Yes, Todd?
You'd think you'd have to go into politics unless you have like an MVP campaign. That's someone that's got to be like a senator or a congressman if you're campaign.
Yeah.
That's all I got right now.
Do you want to do your limerick here?
I'd like to.
Okay. Let's take a break here. Cause I always like
hype it up.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. How about you do it during the break when nobody's listening?
That was funny. Much
okay.
Better than my limerick for sure.
All right. We'll come back. We got our play of the day and Todd has a limerick. The Suns over the Clippers game 2. Well, we have the play of the day coming up. That's after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Oh my God.
The play. The play is called play of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
I'm gonna play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Crowder waiting with it. Lobs it underneath.
Yes! It's good. DeAndre Ayton scores the basket over the rim and in. DeAndre Ayton put it over the rim and in.
That's your play of the day, courtesy of KTAR, Suns Radio Network. DeAndre Ayton's dunk gave him the personal playoff best 24 points. He added 14 rebounds. His eighth double-double of the postseason. Play of the day is brought to you by the great folks at Simply Safe Home Security. What's up, Holmes? There's always someone there who has your back to keep you safe. Go to simplysafedan.com today. Customize your system and get a free security camera. One more mention with DeAndre Ayton. He was the number one pick in the draft, the same draft that you had Luka Doncic and Trae Young in. And at the time, it felt like we didn't focus on DeAndre Ayton as much as, well, why didn't the Hawks take Luka Doncic? Well, my thought was, why is it that Phoenix, who had Luka Doncic's head coach, not take Luka Doncic? And then I was told that the owner, you know, getting a local product, DeAndre Ayton at the University of Arizona, and look, he's played well. Now, this is like transformational time for big men. Like, what do you do? What can you do? What is his value, I think, is really the key here. And can you guard on a double, you know, when you switch, when you have a pick and pop, can the big guy get out? We saw Rudy Gobert, as great as he is defensively, he couldn't guard Terrence Mann on a pick and roll. And Evan Mobley, the USC center, who will be probably a top five pick, you know, I wonder what his future is. And I loved him last year. I thought that he was, you know, one of those, you could see greatness in him. But with what the NBA is right now, the big men have to be able to guard on the pick and roll. And DeAndre Ayton is, now he's not a big, big man. You know, he's athletic. He's not somebody who's going to use his body as much as, you know, I'm a big guy. And he's got mobility and he's able to guard. But he's got, you know, now we're starting to see what, you know, the Phoenix Suns saw in him. Now, did they make the right choice? I guess you can say they did. I mean, you got Devin Booker and you got Chris Paul, Cameron Payne, you know, so would you find a place for Luka Doncic? Of course you would. But Luka's not playing. DeAndre Ayton has played well. Trae Young is still playing. As much as we look at Luka and say, yeah, statistically, spectacular. No, but now he's got to take that next step. Going to have a new head coach, front office in disarray. Does he get along with Porzingis? What's happening next is going to go a long way in the legacy of Luka Doncic, because you can be a statistical anomaly. You want to be a winner. If you said to Trae Young, hey, you can put up triple doubles and, you know, put up these magical numbers like Luka, but you're not going to be this far in the postseason, Trae Young's taking this. This is better for the profile brand of Trae Young, that he's not just, hey, he's a Steph Curry wannabe. I mean, he's been the leader of a team that's won big games on the road, including a Game 7 in Philadelphia. Yes, McLovin.
I think everyone deserves credit for not taking Marvin Bagley III with that number one pick.
I know. That was Paulie. Paulie loved Marvin Bagley.
Oh, Jr. I did too, by the way. I love the Duke big guys.
I'm sticking with Bagley. It's just he's ready to break out any minute.
Well, I said I thought Jaren Jackson Jr. III with Memphis was going to be the best player.
He's good, but he got hurt.
Yeah.
I just looked at his stats. He only played a few games this year.
Yeah, Paul.
I have that draft. And Jaren Jackson, he's with Memphis.
Yeah.
He's averaging 15-5. He's very young. He's the youngest player in the league when he came in that league.
Yeah.
Marvin Bagley's averaging like 15-7, which is nice. But when you see Luka's numbers and Trae Young's numbers, everyone else is, you know, Colin Sexton out of Alabama, he's averaging 20 points a game. Now it's with Cleveland. It's pumped up.
Yeah,
numbers.
But he's a gunner.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
I like him.
Is it bad that I rooted that he wouldn't be good so I didn't have to learn how to pronounce his name, which I still can't pronounce? No offense. Seems like a nice kid.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
I would love to see a redraft of this draft because Michael Porter fell to 14 in that one, and he's very polarizing.
Yeah.
Can't play defense at all.
Yeah. If you did redraft, does Phoenix still take DeAndre Ayton?
You got to think it's Luka, right?
I think you got to take Luka. Like, DeAndre Ayton is a good player. Luka Doncic has a chance to be an all-time great player. I don't think DeAndre Ayton, given the position he plays, can be an all-time great player. Trae Young, I don't know if he can be an all-time great player, but I think he can be a great player. Yeah, Paul.
Devin Booker would be the only person on earth that wouldn't vote for the Suns to take Luka because he would want to get some shots up at some point during the season.
Yeah. All right, we have the limerick. The Suns over the Clippers, and the stage belongs to Todd Fritz.
It looked like L.A. standing tall until Crowder got Ayton the ball. Playoff P missed his free throws, more Clippers down 2-0 woes, and maybe the return of Chris Paul.
All right. That's Todd's limerick today. Yes, Paul?
I was actually entertained by that because I liked when he went, oh, woes. Yeah. Showed a little creativity.
Okay. See, you always say that there's, you know, people are negative on social media. In this room, you got people who embrace
your
limericks.
I like the support. That's appreciated. Makes me want to step up my game and think of more creative things to do when the support's there.
Paulie wasn't big on the first 20 limericks you did.
No, he was not.
But he liked that one.
I'll take it. I'll take it where I can get it.
Progress. Yes, McLovin.
I like it because, you know, it's a mental break. You check your email. Twitter.
Very nice.
By the way, I'm going to tease it. Okay. Probably the worst poll I've ever put on the site because I worded it wrong, and the results are 99% to 1.
Okay. Is this the Suns $100,000 Clippers? Lose a pink?
But it's even worse because I worded it.
Okay,
I said,
let me hear.
Here's your choices. Suns win series and you get $200,000, or the Clippers win the series and you lose a pinky. Which one do you want? I meant to say, if you had a bet between the two, would you take that bet? But instead, surprisingly, only 1% want to lose a pinky. What is that 1% thinking?
They're into pain and not campaign.
I'll have to workshop that one.
Yeah. Chris in Phoenix. Hey, Chris.
Danny, 5'10 and a semi-gelatinous 220.
Mm.
Hey, so I got a comment about last night's game, and then I need some advice. So it seems like it took forever for them to figure out if it was goaltending or not. But Van Gundy and Jackson, they knew right away that it wasn't. So I hope that the officiating crew knew that. But it's like the great comedian Bill Burr said, you could watch the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy in the last 2 minutes of an NBA playoff game.
Yeah, that's true. We were talking about that. It's just the commercial inventory that it feels like it's just too much. And it takes away from the flow of the game. And the replays and how long. I know you want to get it right, but it just feels like, oh. Every time there's a stoppage, I just go, ugh. And you had that a couple of times last night. Of the 15 players named all NBA first, second, third team, 14 were first rounders, and 5 were taken within the first 3 picks. The Joker was 41st pick, second round. But everybody else, 3, 7, 15, 15, 1, 3, 4, 6, 7. I mean, even Julius Randle went 7. Kyrie 1. Beal went 3. Paul George 10. Rudy Gobert 27. Jimmy Butler 30. What did we prove with that stat, Paulie?
You don't have to be a top 3 draft pick
to be
all NBA.
All right. More phone calls coming up. 1 hour in the books. 2 more to go on this Wednesday. Dan Patrick Show. Close out first hour with our friends from Callaway. Came in yesterday after the show was over, and I was there with Mario. He was watching me use the Epic Driver. He just kind of sat there. I guess it would be like a little boy who's there watching Babe Ruth take batting practice. That's what it felt like. And Mario was just watching me in wonderment going, wow, that's got that jailbreak speed frame, doesn't it? The Epic Driver. I said, yes, it does. Well, what driver do you use? I said, well, there's an Epic Driver for just about everybody, Mario. And even as bad as you are as a golfer, I think he shot a 102 the other day. Most players will love the forgiveness of the Epic Max, the Epic Speed, the fastest Epic, and the better players, hello, Epic Max LS capitalizes on the tour preferred combination of low spin plus high stability, and there is a driver for you. And what happens is you get more energy that stays on the driver face, transfers to the golf ball. More energy means more ball speed, which means more distance. Hello! Check out the Epic family of drivers at CallawayGolf.com/epic.